This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
Our reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 8, very familiar story and words that we all know so well. But I hope this morning we can look a little bit at this story and just glean some important truths from it. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 8 at verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Jesus said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power had gone out from me." Then a woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Amen. And we know that God will indeed bless this reading of his holy word. I've maybe done it once or twice with you, a little series called Being Interrupted. I think last Sunday after Easter, I did the story of the two men on the walk and of how Jesus interrupted their walk and their discussion. But this sermon's called Interruption Upon Interruption. And you know when you're trying to do something and the phone rings and you get back to it and then the doorbell goes, it's that dreaded delivery driver from, you know what, Amazon with another parcel. Usually clothes in our case and not mine, I can tell you. But anyway, such is life. But interruptions are a nuisance, aren't they? The story is told of the minister who was going to visit this family, and it just turned out that the little girl in this family, it was her birthday. And she was really excited, and she got a new watch, and she got some perfume for her birthday. And she went round the house all day going, tick, tick, smell me, smell me. And just to her mother's annoyance, and she said, look, when the minister calls, don't you dare tell him about your perfume and your watch. No more tick, tick, smell me, smell me. And so he came, and they had a nice chat, and this little girl was bursting to tell the minister all her good news. And he finally said a prayer, and he was just about to go, and he was speaking away, and she just tugged him on his coat, and he looked down at her, and she said, if you heard a little noise and smelt something, it was me. Well, a bit naughty joke, but I thought maybe we needed to lighten the atmosphere this morning a little bit. Some interruptions can be funny. There was a play, wasn't there? The Bodyguard musical. I don't know whether you read about it or not, but it was stopped early because the audience joined in. And they shouldn't have been joining in the singing, and there was a recording of it. And it was a bit like me singing if my microphone was turned up, totally out of tune. And I think the cast decided, this is too much, can't abide this interruption. And they stopped their performance 10 minutes early. Well, Jesus was always being interrupted by people who were really in need. And our story today contains, well, it's two stories, but we're not going to deal so much with the lady who had this wonderful healing from Jesus, and her blood issue was resolved. She was healed. I want to deal with the man called Jairus, who came to interrupt Jesus for a very important reason. And that was, his little girl was very ill. Now, why did he come to Jesus? Well, I think he came to Jesus as a last resort. And sometimes, that's when we do turn to God in prayer. When we've tried everything else and nothing else has worked. He should have been our first port of call, but quite often he's our last. He was an important man in his community, a leader in the synagogue. He was a religious man. He had an important role within the whole society. He was looked up to. And he had this huge problem now. His daughter was really, really sick. And as a religious leader, he prayed, I'm sure, about his daughter. But didn't seem to make any difference. And yet he had heard about this itinerant preacher who could do amazing things. And when all else failed, this important man in his community went and knelt at the feet of this itinerant preacher called Jesus. The first thing I want you to note about this man, that he was in a real state of anxiety. Well, wouldn't you be? I have sat by the bedsides of many children and their parents. I've baptized 2 or 3 times children really, really sick in the children's hospital and been there when machines were turned off and those little ones breathed their last. The anxiety in the hearts of the parents of those children is just enormous. And I'm sure there are many people in this church today who have been through times of real anxiety. When you don't know where to turn to or who to turn to. Anxiety creeps up on us sometimes in the middle of the night. We can wake up with a cold sweat thinking about the difficulties of the day ahead, anxious about what's going to happen. Is it illness? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your relationships. And all have caused you immense anxiety. And if you're a proud man, like Jairus was a proud man, I'm sure. A man of faith. Yet in his anxiety, his love for his daughter overtook him. And he went and he knelt at Jesus' feet. Such was his anxiety. And Jesus said, okay, we'll go and see what we can do. And on the way, the crowds were there following him. And then in the midst of it all, Jesus stops. This woman with her blood illness couldn't be cured for such a long time, touches his cloak, and miraculously she is healed. But that takes time. And can you imagine the anxiety rising and rising? Time is of the essence for Jairus at the moment. He humbled himself before Jesus. Jesus said, I'll come. But then he's interrupted again. And although I'm sure he is pleased for this woman that her illness has been cured, his thought is, every moment is important. Every moment is precious. Please, Jesus, could you just get on the move again? Well, just as they are about to move and the anxiety levels just dropped a little, the word that he did not ever want to hear was brought. One of his servants came and said, you don't need to bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. His anxiety then turned to agony, didn't it? The agony and the pain of his bereavement is incalculable. And we have all been through bereavement. The agony of it all is immense. My son and his wife were expecting a little girl. And it turned out that she had severe spina bifida and she did not survive. And as Alan came on the phone to tell us that his wife had to go through the birthing process, only for Aya to be dead. And the hurt and the pain in his voice will be with me forever. The agony of all of that is just immense. Where do you take that pain? What do you do with that agony? Was Jairus going to just go home and say, Jesus, it doesn't matter anymore? Was Jesus going to say to him, well, there's nothing can happen, nothing can be done? Listen then to what Jesus said. In the midst of this man's agony, Jesus said this, don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed. At that point of deepest agony comes the assurance of Jesus. At that time of absolute and utter devastation, Jesus speaks words of assurance. Don't be afraid. Just believe. He's not deterred. He says, let's go. She's not dead. She's asleep. What was Jairus thinking of in those moments? Did he believe Jesus? Certainly, when they arrived back at Jairus' house, all the signs were that his daughter was dead. The mourners were outside. Those whose job it was to mourn, the professional mourners were there. Inside was his wife. Outside they were wailing and crying and trying to express the agony that was going on in that home and with those people. But Jesus said, stop your wailing. She isn't dead. And they said, don't be stupid. They laughed at him. Look, we're the professionals here. This is our job. We know when somebody is dead. And this girl is dead. So what's going on in Jairus' mind? How's he feeling? Is there any hope there at all? Well, there must be. There must be the smallest chink of light in the midst of this darkness. There must be. Because Jesus had come. Yet all the people who he had worked with and known and understood what they were all about were all going, she's dead, and this is such the saddest time. Jesus tells them to stop, but they laugh at him. She's dead. When Jesus goes into the home with Peter and John and James and Mum and Dad, he goes up to where the dead girl is. He takes her by the hand and with authority told her to get up. And she did. And then he told her parents, get her something to eat. She must be hungry. Well, you've probably seen it on the screen. My last day is astonishment. What words could they say? Jairus and his wife. Or Peter, or James, or John. She wasn't dead. They were totally and utterly astonished at what Jesus can do. absolutely amazed that their grief and their pain was gone. So how do we cope in those anxious times? How do we cope with the agony of bereavement or the profound illness, not maybe to ourselves, but to someone whom we love? That agony was compounded during the COVID pandemic, wasn't it? When you couldn't actually touch a loved one who was at the point of death. When you had to look through a window. You couldn't be there to comfort as you would want. The pain and the agony of all of that was just compounded. How do we cope when the fear within us rises up at what can and should and must happen? Where do we go? Who do we turn to? Who doesn't mind being interrupted? I remember the 1st of July many, many years ago. I had the car packed up to go to France. It was an art packing the car. Everything had its place. Camping holiday, tent, seats, all sorts of stuff. Marks and Spencer's, tins of this, that, and the other stuff. Cooker, everything, clothes, and everything had its place. Buckets and spades, everything had its place, either in the boot or on the floor inside, or the kids sat upon the soft, squishy stuff on the journey, or it was on a roof rack that made the car as tall as it was long. Everything had its place. And I was so proud of how I had packed this car. It was 5 to midnight, and I was due to be on a holiday the next day, and the phone rang. Hi, Morris. I know you're going on holiday tomorrow, but Mum's very ill in the Royal. Can you come? Well, what do you say? No, I can't. I said, yeah, of course, I'll be right there. We were getting the very early boat in the morning. And then my wife said, you're not leaving the car parked at the Royal Hospital with all our tent stuff on the roof. Right, okay. I said, I'm sure it'll be all right. And she says, no, no, no. Well, at the time we had only one car. So I had to take all this stuff off the roof again and drive to the hospital and sat with this lady and her husband as her mother passed away. And it is a huge privilege to be there at that time, bringing God's word and help. But part of me was feeling, I've got to go home and pack this car up again. Couldn't do the funeral, but at least I was there. And I was a little irritated, I must admit, when I was taking all the stuff off the car. But then when you're actually there and you're actually with the family and you hope that you can bring something of God's peace and assurance in that situation, but it all changed. I managed to get home, repack the car, didn't bother getting back into bed, because it was going to be up in half an hour anyway. Made a coffee and some breakfast and reflected. Who do you turn to when life is hard? When you're anxious and in pain? Who can bring words of hope and assurance? Jesus can. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Could you imagine him looking into this pained man's face and he said, "Now just look at me for a moment." And he just looked at him straight in the face and he said, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Something within Jairus said, "I've got to." And then the astonishment at what God can do, what Jesus can do in those difficult situations. So when you're anxious and in agony, who do you turn to for help? Mere mortals? Yes, we can be of help sometimes. But when there is no other place to turn to, Jesus wants to look you straight in the eye and tell you exactly what he told Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And you will be astonished at how that makes such a difference. So Jesus doesn't mind you interrupting him, no matter what time of the day or night. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Shall we pray? Not one of us who is in church today has gone through life without being anxious or feeling pain of heart or of body. Not one of us has escaped waking up in the middle of the night worried and perplexed about health or family or relationships, or money. We have all gone through periods of being anxious, and we have tried using our own ingenuity. Maybe we have even tried to lie our way out of situations. Maybe we have been anxious because of what we have done, or what others have done to us, or what is happening in the relationships of one of our children, or even in our own relationships. And we have all experienced the pain of loss. Where is there hope? Who is always there to hear us, to listen, and to speak into that situation? Jesus is. He is only a prayer away. Father, remind us of this truth. And remind us of the fact that no matter how difficult the situation may have been or is, no matter how foolish we have been or others have been, or how life seems to have dealt us a difficult hand, there is always one who will speak words of comfort, one who will tell us not to be afraid, just to trust. May we be astonished at what happens when we bring our worries, our pains, our difficulties to Jesus. We know he can bear our burden. He can lift our feet and place them on a rock. And he can put a new song in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some young people were asked what Good Friday meant to them. And one of the interesting answers was, Good Friday, that's when the agreement was signed. Such is the 25 years that have passed since the signing of the Good Friday Agreement. And the sadness is, of course, that many of our young people really do not understand what Good Friday is really all about. In saying that, though, this was a significant time, and our moderator has asked us during our worship on this Sunday to think of peace and the outworkings of that agreement. So as we come to prayer, we want to pray about our own situation in this province, but also to remember so many other places where peace is far from being on the agenda. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, and for some of us, it seems only like yesterday that this agreement, the Good Friday Agreement, that brought relative peace to this part of the world was signed. We want to thank you for those who had the courage to sign it. And yet, in the 25 years since, things have changed, but not as much as we had hoped. The peace walls, ironically named, are still there to stop people from fighting one another. They seem to keep some sort of peace, but not the peace that we hoped for. A peace in which people will tolerate each other's differences and indeed welcome them. That we can live together without barriers separating us, that we would feel safer without those walls than with them. And today, even though we have had a visit from the President of the United States, there is still such disagreement as to the outworking of other political agreements, like Brexit, that we still have an assembly that is not working, that is not meeting, and at a time of crisis for health and education and industry, there is no one working in the place that can make radical and important decisions. Father, we pray into that situation and ask that you would intervene, that we may indeed be able to have a working government in Stormont again, and that we can learn to live beside one another, and that we can enjoy each other's cultures and outlook, and not see it as a means to distrust and indeed hate others. Father, may the banging of drums not be required any longer to mark out territory, or the raising of flags to separate one community from another. May the banner over this place be one of love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we live in a world where there is great anxiety and even greater agony. The country of Ukraine has been torn apart by war. China is threatening Taiwan. In the Sudan, civil war seems to be breaking out again. North Korea fires missiles into the Pacific Ocean, boasting that they soon will be able to reach the United States. Countless other conflicts in the Yemen, in Ethiopia, and in numerous other countries are going on at this time. Families are dying through war, through malnutrition, through disease. In such an anxious and hurting world, we pray that you would bring not only your peace, but that you would move us as your people to do what we can to alleviate some of it, and that you would work in the hearts and minds of the leaders of the nations of this world, that they would find a much better way to solve their differences. We pray for our own country at this time of instability, with strikes in schools, in universities, in hospitals, and in the civil service, of our people who went into a profession to care for others, like nurses and doctors, now find themselves in a position where they won't or can't do that because of the situations that they find themselves in. The turmoil that must be going on in the hearts and minds of those in caring professions at this time must be enormous. Father, we pray that our government will act wisely and sensibly to bring about these strikes to an end. Our Heavenly Father, we have been thinking about anxiety and pain in our worship today, and you are the one who in Christ can bring an end to that anxiety and can be with us as we mourn and as we hurt. We trust in you. And we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, that those issues that we have prayed about today, that we will begin to see you answering and will be astonished at how you have changed impossible situations into possible solutions. Hear these, our prayers, that we offer through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.